Tosfos is trying to process the movement of the Gemara from Tezvav and out to Tezvav and Beis. Tosfos on Tezvav and Beis. Tosfos Tezvav and Beis Dir Masel Bahashto. Is trying to unpack and appreciate, to tease out what exactly happened at the end. Again, the Gemara Tezvav and Aleph, and the Gemara Tshubastav Mem Aleph, had introduced us to the machlokas later Amora and Rapapa and Ravuna Brezi Yeshua. How do you make sense of Chatzinez? The Mishnah Tshubastav Mem Aleph tells me that the telltale sign of Knas is it doesn't correspond to the amount of the event. It's a fixed amount that you're paying, or it's a multiple of what you're paying. The question is, how about if it's a multiple, not times two or times four or five, it's a fraction, it's a fractional multiple. You're paying half of the damage. What do you make of polygonism? That means that yesterday, or so last week, Machlekes for Papa Ravuna, but Yeshua, Papa said polygonism of Mona, Ravuna Yeshua says, no, it is a knas. The Papa said, basically, I'm paying for that. I said, what time give me a break? Ravuna Yeshua says, no, it's a knas. I'm not fundamentally responsible. This is an added penalty to encourage me to do Ma'ase Shemira beyond what the natural degree of responsibility would be. And rise back and forth, and then on the days, you turn the page, and the Gemara finally comes to the conclusion that we paskin like a Hudra Yeshua, paskin, halga, nizka, knasa, it is a knas, and we expect to hear, and therefore, when you have the case of Karen, since it's a knas, the number one, Moda the Karen is pater, because Moda the Knas is pater, and we expect to hear number two, you can only sue for Karen before Beis Din of Smuchin. So in the period of the earlier Amoron, you want to sue for Karen, you better travel to Eretz Israel. Or find a rare Beis Din in Bavel that's composed of Smuchin from Eretz Israel. But your standard Bavli Beis Din cannot adjudicate a case of Karen. That's what we have expected the Gemara to have said. One Nafkamina or the other. Either Moda B'Knas Patzer or Ingo B'Knas is the Bavel. The Gemara does mention that second Nafkamina, but seems to give us a little too much information. Instead of just saying, oh, Hashnavr is carrying Polonis Kefrasa, so Lo Magbinam carrying the Baba. That's what would have been neat, clean, efficient. Instead, the Gemara chooses in this Maskana to give a whole new case. Where it says, you're not Govan and Baba, a case of the dog that eats the sheep, or the cat that eats the chickens. The Gemara has to stress, and by the way, it depends how big the chickens are, depends how big the sheep are, but the dog is eating the big sheep, the cow is eating the cat is eating the big chickens. That's bizarre, and therefore, Karen love be the love. It's again the unspoken says yesterday, the unspoken question, which other Rishonim in the Shita Mekbetza do raise explicitly, which presumably is Tosis doesn't raise, but it seems pretty clearly is driving what they're saying, is again, well, why do you have to introduce this new case now? Okay, the ABCs of public speaking, one of the pro tips is you don't introduce a whole new concept in your conclusion. You might tie things together a little more, maybe give a slightly different perspective, maybe you'll use one of the later points you made to give a return to an early point with added spin, added angle. You don't introduce a whole new concept in the last minute of your talk, unless you're trying to leave people with a cliffhanger. So what's going on here? You want to talk about Kabbalah Daf Yomi, you could have spoken about it earlier. You're talking about the conclusion. That's what drives Tosfos to assume it must be that the Gemara, we could not have spoken about it earlier. So in other words, Tosfos says it must be, the point is not merely, well, it's all part of the Kassos, and Karen is a Kass, and therefore Lag Zayin Bavel. Shkoyach, now we know. Just tell me, Pavan is the Kassos. Okay, I know what that means. The point is, we're trying to tell you, not just that since this is Karen, therefore, as a Kass, it's Lag Zayin Bavel, but it must be the going to tell me an added point, which is, since Karen is a Kass, therefore, this is Karen. Now, let's take a look again inside. You read most of Tosfos, having left the last line hanging. Let's start again from the top. The Hashi Davis problem is because Kinas the Tosas has on Ruvain near as his Tosas. It would seem to me the Dafkul Manda problem is Kinas. It's only true according to one who says problem is Kinas. Okay. Avul Manda problem is Kinona. And I guess as Dora says, since our problem is Kinas, then therefore. And if your whole problem is Kinona, then what would you say? So again, we would have guessed. And you say, well, it's Mamon, so you are Gova Gova. Moses says, no, that's obvious. And for that, again, as I said before, for that you don't need to introduce a new case. We know. If your whole problem is Gova, then Karen, you're Gova Gova. We know. But this case is different. Moses is saying, so again, Tosas isn't obvious about the point they're trying to make. But it's the point real. Tosas is saying, it's a double chiddush. If your whole problem is Gova, not only are all cases, if your whole problem is Gova, not only is it true that cases of Karen in general would be Mamon and therefore go from Mubadel, but also this particular case would not be Karen at all. The Mamon apologizes to Mimona, Lo Machayev Kla. You would be Chayev at all. You would hate Casey. Because from where would you learn it? How do I know that Kla would offer me Chayev at all? It's not even Karen. Why? The Karen law, I see the Karen or Vedal. You can't learn it from Karen. Karen is normal. This is weird. This is Mishuna. Karen's not Mishuna. If you hold Paul Ganiska Mimona. You hold Paul Ganiska Mimona, Karen is not so strange. Not as Tom and Shane Rado. Not Mas and Bahal Yom, literally. Not something the animal does every day. Every day there's Shane. Every day there's Rado. The animal has to live. Moves around, Karen happens occasionally, but it's not so off the charts, not so many standard deviations from the norm that we would deem it to be Mishuna. It's not the most common thing, but it's, you know, not so rare, not abnormal. Or it's there. Why? Because after all, that's what the Gemara said at all. Stav Shavar Ma'achet Kashira Kaim. Where Papa, now Pavlis Mamona, says, you. Karen is within the range of your natural responsibility as an owner. This is not so bizarre. Vahai, but this meaning, Kalba Achal Imri is Mishuneh. The law of Orche, the Kalba Achal Imri, everyone agrees to that. It is abnormal for a dog to eat large sheep. Oh, so that's what Tosa says. Ah, that's why we introduce a new case. It's a point we're trying to make. We're not just saying that the opposite is Kekanasa, so Karen follows all the rules of Kenasa. We're trying to say something else. That the opposite is Kekanasa, we redefine. It's not just a question of when it's a case of Karen, what's the din of Moda B'Karen, what's the din of Karen B'Babel. It's a question of what is Karen. How do you draw the boundaries of Karen? What cases are Karen? What's the definition of the category of Karen? The opposite is Kemona, Karen only includes things which are normal. Maybe not everyday occurrences, but within the norms. And therefore, things which are legitimately abnormal are not even Karen, they are Pater Lagarma. It happens once, it happens three times, doesn't matter. It's not the Davos Nazikin. It's not like it's the same with Grumman who's often as Pater, who would have said that Kabbalah of Avery just Pater. It's so bizarre. There's no, if no Pater is Kamamona, there's no Av Nezek, there's no source of Chonish to Mechayev a Nezek Meshunek. Yehovah Pagan is Kekinasa. So then what? So then, all of a sudden, this case is Chayiv. Only Chatzi Nezek, and not the Bavel, okay, it's Karen. But it is Karen, it's not zero. Because if Yehovah Pagan is Kekinasa, that allows us to broaden, Tosfos says at this point, broaden the definition of Karen. Shavayu Mishu remains a Tolda. There's also, but after all, don't tell me, no, it's different than Karen because this is so abnormal. Karen is also abnormal. If the old pagan is the Knesset, then why the old pagan is the Knesset? It's a Gemara sentence of an Aleph. But Fudu Beit Shuva says, I see Karen as being very bizarre. It's beyond the bounds of what you would reasonably, naturally be responsible to watch. The Torah would like us to go beyond that and do added acts of Shmira even for the sake of Karen, so the Torah slapped on a knas. But fundamentally, it's Mishuna. So then if I have another case of Mishuna, I say, great, this is Mishuna, that's Mishuna, it's a total of Karen. Good. So Torah says, ooh. So the Torah, we'll get to the last few words in a moment. So far what happened is the Torah points out, well, what the Gemara is telling me here is that the machlokas palitzkim and palitzkim kras is not merely whether it has the rules or regulations of mammon or kras, but what is karen? Or how broadly do we define karen? Let's put it like that for now. How broad does karen include even mishuna cases, or does not include mishuna cases? But that's not enough. This is about to tell us there's actually even more fundamental definitional question at stake here. This is already interesting that we're defining broadening or narrowing karen. Does it include even mishuna or only orphan? The Torah says that's not even. We're not even done. Because 1 second, Moses says, very nice. So Karen, according to Rav Yehuda ben Yeshua, Pagas Kiknasam, Karen is Meshuna, and so is the Kalvah the Achalim. Yeah, but the Meshuna is not the entire picture. There's another variable you need to look at. What's the other variable you need to look at? We learned that base. How do you define Karen? Kamasla Azik. So, Karen, the gory, it had malicious intent. It was trying to do harm. Is the dog here malicious? No, he's hungry. He's hungry. He's eating a dog. He's a hungry dog, he's eating food. So Tosis says, oh, I forgot the character of the eyes. Well, even though Tosis says, we do possibly this circumstance, and therefore Allah Maisa Kabbalah of Henry is Chayiv as Karen, Chati Nezek as a Knas, only with a Bezim Smuchin. But it is Karen, despite the fact that Karen is Kabbalah of Hazek. Well, is that an answer or is that a question? That's a problem. 1 second. So, Tosus is saying, essentially, in the last phrase, Tosus just sort of raised without with incredible subtlety, Tosas just asked the master kasha. The Gemara here just said that the halacha lemaisa, psak halacha lemaisa, tazav on the days, maskaras asugya. If someone comes before you with the Reuven had a dog and it ate Shimon's large sheep. Reuven had a I don't know. Reuven owns a ferret. And it ate up Shimon's elephant. Seems like a mismatch of cosmic proportions there.
Yeah.
So you didn't expect the ferret to eat the elephant. So we say to Reuven. So Shimon says, "Hey Reuven, you owe me for my elephant." Okay. Now at least it's going to be Megufo. So you can't pay more than the value of the ferret. Did you have to pay Chazan as a Megufo or not? Halacha Maisa. What's the din? And then we say, "Well, guy, go here. It's a straw. Fine, it's Megufo. Okay. But Maisa, what's the din? Chay." Why? The Pharaoh is just hungry. He's going to suck a lot of mice. It's against that Beis HaMeis. Mamash is the Tosfos is with incredible subtlety. He's saying there's a spirit between Beis HaMeis and Beis HaMeis. I don't understand. How do you call this Karen? Don't come on the Hazek. It's Shane. You should all have Zeka. Karen. No, it can't be Shane because it shouldn't. But what's going on here? How do you just sort of call it Karen? That's what Tosfos. By the truth is, that's what the Rashash was bothered by in that case. He was asking Rashi, really sort of asking the Gemara. I understand that going to the base, he's talking about Kavana, Rashi's talking about Kavana, Ravitza the Kavana, the Shicha the Kavana. Oh, it's Kavana Hazik. When we get the Tazvav the base, we forgot all about Kavana. If it's strange, it's Karen. So, I remember distinctly, this is a recurring motif in Shiurim, in Tav Shin Nun Tes, where I have to say in Shiurim Baal Kamen. He's saying Shiurim Baal Kamen also, but I don't get to hear them. Then again, this is a recurring motif that we heard over the course of Shiurim in the first parak, that I was talking to him about recently. He's pointing out that the way he said it is Rav's Nusuk, and then Baal Kamen is a slightly different Nusuk. Rav's Nusach, in the history of Baal Kama, was that the Gemara, the definition of Karen at the beginning of the Masechta is Kavanos L'Hazik. And we get to Daf Tezvav, that changes to being defining Karen not by intent, but by frequency. Now, up until this point, Karen was, and you think about Karen, Shane, and Rego. Like the definition of the Beis Din that we saw, were all a question of what's the animal's kavanah? What's the animal trying to do? Is it trying to harm? Karen? Is it trying to eat, trying to enjoy, shame, or is its motivation nothing? It's just, it's not motivated, it's just moving along without any intent to do harm. Derech hilucho, hezeka matzei tavei. That was the Gemara's initial understanding of how you make sense of the different avos, nezikin, and chumash. Why the Torah giving different categories of animals doing damage? So initially the Gemara thought it was a question of what's the animal's motivation? Malicious, karen, benign, shame, or no motivation, rather. Until it gets to Daf Tezvav. And Daf Tezvav, this line of Gemara, everything changes. And that's what Tosis is subtly pointing out to us. We just turned the key. We just changed what the dimension is along which we're defining. According to what axis are we defining karen versus shame versus rather? And it just shifted. Not only, now there's a first point that Tosis made, if you say Bakaniska Knasa, you're including, expand the definition to Meshune. You're also, in the last line, Tosis points out, you're dropping the other piece of definition. We no longer care about Kavanah. Kavanah used to be relevant.
What changed?
Huh? What changed is, that's the Machlokas, Bakaniska Mamona, and Bakaniska Knasa. The machlokas paganiska mamona paganiska knasa is not merely a question of how common or uncommon is karen, but when because of that, because the question is karen 12%, 8%, whatever the numbers are, it's obviously not a radical difference. Otherwise, we wouldn't have machlokas and matzias like that. But it could be a sort of a slight, sort of a little more, a little less. But what that drives is how do I look at the Torah, the Pesukim of Mishpatim, and give me Karen versus Shane Regel, how do I make sense of that? Do I say, the difference is what the Kavana is? Because they're all within the range of normal. So Papa says the difference is what's the Kavana? And by the way, who was the Amora who got the whole Gemara started at Beis on Beis? Rav? Who was Amora that thing started? That Beis or Papa? The Pablo Noro says, Paganiska, Mimona. The Pablo Noro says that Karen is also, relatively speaking, Urche. Not as common as Shane Regel, but that's not the Pablo the defining difference between Karen on the one hand and Shane Regel on the other hand. The defining difference is what we heard about that base, Kavala versus other Kavalas. That's the approach of a Pablo. The approach of Rehuda Rebbe Yeshua, who sees Karen as being significantly abnormal, that is not only part of the definition, that is the entire definition of Karen. According to Rav Papa, Karen means Kavanah L'Hazik. According to Rav Meir Yeshua, Karen means Meshuna. Two different definitions. Now, as Rav's Nusach in Shir Bava Kama, is that the Gemara is working one definition of Karen for the first 13 blocks, and we get to Daf Tezvav, we switch from defining Karen as Kavanah L'Hazik to defining Karen as Lav Urche, as Meshuna. Now the truth is that, as Yerushalmi mentioned to me a couple weeks ago, that Rabbi Aaron Cutler had the same idea with a different twist. He said not when the Gemara gets to Daf Tezvav, when the Gemara gets to Daf Hey. That was his message. When the Gemara gets to Daf Hey, that's when we switch over, because as you saw, and then we'll take some questions. The word that gets to Daf Hey is, according to Tosfos, the Gemara is already referencing this Machlokas. Let's take a look together. Show of hands, how many fellows saw Gemara Daf Hey b'Chavruso? Okay, so let's take a peek at this together. Right, the Gemara is grappling at this point with the middle of our mission, not days of it all. After enumerating the others, Nezikin, remember the way they are exactly, Shor, Bor, Ma, Vehever, now we start to compare and contrast. Could I learn one from the other? Could I learn Shor from Ma? No. Could I learn Ma from Shor? No. Could I have learned Eish from Shor and Ma together? Also not. Why? Because Shor and Ma have a Chumra that Eish doesn't have, which is Shor and Ma are both? Thank you. And then how about I've had Shor, Mava, and Eish? Can I go and borrow from all three?
No.
Dark and Leil, Zulahaz. They move, right? We discussed it when the Mishnah has to do with Maisa. Okay. The Rashi has a different approach to that. Good. Tosa says, let's take a look. The Rashi says, hey, first explain what's going on in the Mishnah. Reiterates what we just said, or we were just reiterating what the Gemara says, and then goes a step further. My father, follow him out. What's the Mishnah trying to say? What's going on with these lo zev zev, the chumras kula da? Rav Mesharish Mishmei Derav, the Hazi Gama, Michto Rechmana Tarati, Vitesi Idech Minayel. Here the Gemara is explaining what the Mishnah was trying to do is say, why couldn't the Torah have been more efficient? Why do we need so many different examples of Nezek? Just write two, we'll learn everything, derive everything else from those two. It says to eat the Chminayu, just write Shor Mat, we'll learn the rest of that. Father Amar, and then Mishnah goes on to say, Chadim Yitar Kulasi, well, you cannot learn one from two, you can't learn eight from Shor Mat, but then how then you could do one from three? Okay, so that's Rav Masharshia, who's quoting Rava, is explaining to us the middle of the Mishnah. What the Mishnah was asking is, we know it because Rashi told us that base. Rashi told us that base because Rashi had read on the Gemara. Okay. So he told us what the Gemara Mishnah is grappling with is, why couldn't we have learned, left out some of the cases and learned this from that? But then Rava says, and this comment of Rava had already been referenced in Tosin that base amount. Omar Rava, the Chulu, but all the other Kishad is Bar Meinayu, Asu Chulu, Ma'atzad. Bar is at the end of the Mishnah. You can't learn bar from anything else. But you could learn, if the Torah would have written bar and any other nezek, that together you could have generated the whole list.
Should it not have been an ish because then you wouldn't be able to know if something was alive?
But bar is also not alive.
I'm just saying that you wouldn't be able to learn out Rakhaya.
Exactly. In other words, if you alter writes the Shor and Mavis, I would have had a mistaken conclusion. And the only time Chayv and Nezek is when we're a Chayv, I would never have known they're Chayv and Barnish.
Also happens, if there's only Bor and Heather, I wouldn't be able to know Shor and
Mavis. I would have thought he told him that's not alone.
So that's
right. Yeah. So if you, I don't want to get involved in that now, but there's a very long Rashi, and a parallel very long Tosis, that takes you through every single permutation. Now they had Bar and Shane, how I've learned that Regal and Asia, Bar and Regal. So it works, right now we're trying to laser in on one aspect of the Gemara, which is the next one. Well, see, the Gemara ultimately says, I could have learned everything or almost everything from Bar and one other, so Taka, why were all of them? I couldn't have been just Shor and Mavet. You could have written Shor and Bar, so why didn't Tar do that? And the Gemara ultimately says the answer is L'Hilchos Seder. You're right, there are certain permutations of Avos that could have generated the rest, but even if I would have, the Mishnah is saying, look, there are certain few permutations of Avos, Shor and Mavet wouldn't generate everything else. Shor, Mavet, Esh wouldn't generate everything else. You're right, there's a different grouping with Bar, you would have generated the rest. So then Taka, the question stands, why did the Torah have to write all of the others? The answer is, well, you ultimately need all the others not only to make sure you know that all of them are chayiv, but to know the quirks of each. Each one has its own exceptions. That's what the Gemara calls lehilchos seder. Karen is the distinction between, you know, Tom and Mu'ah. Tom is chasin as a Mu'ah and a Cholah. Shane Regal is only chayiv if there's a trespass. I'm only chayiv that my rabbit's eating your carrots if my rabbit went into your backyard. If my rabbit ate the carrots, there was a problem. There are cases where there are exceptions. That's an exception to the chiyuv shein brega. There are exceptions to where an ish is potter. There are exceptions to bar. So those unique quirks, those unique details of each av, if the Torah wouldn't have said shein brega, if the Torah wouldn't have said karen, I would learn Karen from anything else, I wouldn't have known to differentiate between Chasin and the Shalom. There would be no source there. Because that's the ultimate answer. Okay. But before we get there, here's the key line. The Gemara says, we're not sure whether Bor and one other would have taught me Karen too. Definitely, if I had Bor one other, I could learn H, I could learn Shane, I could learn Red. Whichever ones wouldn't be written. But would Bor and Shane, or Bor and H, could that have taught me Karen? The Gemara is not sure of that. Let's take a look at that inside. Asya Kulu, the fourth line, the Mahatzad, what's that bar? A Kishad Bar Benai, the third line. Right? I throw bar into the mix. I have bar together with one other Av. Asya Kulu, Mahatzad. I have to learn all the rest from a Mamatzino, a Mahatzad, and those two. Labar Mikarad, except for Karad, which cannot be learned from anything else. Why? Because you can ask the question. Well, Bor and Eish and Shane and Regal and Adam, for that matter, they're all Muadim and Chilasam. So it doesn't indicate necessarily that Karen is also God. But that's version number one, the Gemara, that you cannot learn Karen for the rest because Karen is not a Muad.
I don't know.
So you say, well, if by Muad you mean the way the Mishnah uses it as Zomer Beis, that a case you paid as a Shalim is backwards. Well, who told you that it's not a mu'ud? Well, I'll learn from the rest, then it will be chayav nezek shalom. So the Tosfos points out, obviously, we don't mean here mu'ud as in paying nezek shalom. That's the din, that's the consequence. We mean a quality of the case of Karen. The case of Karen is not mu'ud. What does that mean? Then at the beginning of Shekain, Tosfos Shekain, ain lefarishim b'sham nezek shalom. Then came Karen Ami Asya. Kevin Lokzid. If I would learn care for everything else, care would also be Nezek Shalom. He says, no, it means something else. What does it mean? So let's hold tight for a moment. Let's first see the next line of the Gemara. Either Karen is weaker because it's not Muad, the others are Muad, this one is not Muad from the outset. Or, the Gemara says, there's another position. Laman da Omar, according to one who says, Adarab the Karen Adifa. No, Karen is actually as strong and stronger than the rest. Shikaba Nosa Lahazik, because Karen is the only case of malicious intent. Nefarious, violent intent. Shane is benign. Regal has no intent. Eish Bar, and the Eish and the Bar don't have any intent. They're not animate objects. Karen's the only case, you know, Adamazik, Labdafka is a case of violent intent. Maybe I was just lazy or not paying attention or I was hungry, whatever. Who says I was coming with malicious, with malice aforethought. Karen is malice aforethought. Karen also has it. Second Manda Amar. Since Karen is uniquely Kavanasalazik, therefore Karen is worse than the rest. And therefore I could have learned Karen from the rest. The Gemara says, Machlokas, mysterious Machlokas, with no name to catch, either Karen cannot be learned from the rest, or can be learned from the rest. Either it cannot be learned from the rest because it is not mu'ud from the outset, or it can be learned from the rest. It's actually worse than the rest because it's kavana lahazik. So Rashi said, tiny Rashi, the last Maravan, lois bar sheikha. So Rashi says, not really sure where this manda amar is. The Gemara is talking as though you know who it is. The one who says, like, you know who says this, as though we're referring to something that we know about. Rashi says, I have to be honest, I don't know. As an aside, extraordinary Rashi. Rashi could have just skipped it. Right? He doesn't have to say anything. Rashi does not comment on every single line of Gemara. I'm sure you've heard this before, but it's worth appreciating again. And Rashi goes out of his way to say, I don't know. That's the first Gemara Musar and Shas, I believe. Brachos Daf Gimel Daf Dalet. Gemara says, you have to train yourself. The Jew, Reb Zera, says a Jew should train himself, get in the habit of saying, I don't know. If you don't get comfortable with saying, I don't know, if you become the guy who always needs to have the answer to everything, and then my intellectual arrogance gets in the way of my being able to admit that I don't have the answer to everything, sooner or later, Zera says, you're going to start making stuff up. You always feel the need to have an answer. You always have to have the last line. You always have to be the last guy to speak, right? You can never let the other guy have the last line of the argument. And you always have to be right. You always have to be the guy with all the answers. Sooner or later, you start making stuff up. The famous line from Mark Twain, right? The great thing about telling the truth is you don't have to remember anything. And you start making stuff up, then you have to remember your lies. Sooner or later, you're going to start making stuff up because you always feel the need to have something to say. If you get comfortable, if you train yourself to be comfortable saying, I don't know, and some of the wisest people that we know are very comfortable saying, I don't know. And it's part of that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Ezehu Chacham. All those Mishnah, all those Ezehus, they're all very counterintuitive. They're all the opposite of what people usually assume those things mean. Usually people think of someone who's powerful, a gibar, as he has no self-control. He just does whatever he wants. Usually people think of the ashir as just, he wants it, he buys it, as opposed to enjoying what he has. Usually people think of the chacham as he has all the answers. He doesn't need anyone. Adrav. Rishi says just the opposite. Real osher, real gvura, real chachma is the opposite of that. Real chachma specifically, lo mikol adam. I don't have all the answers. And therein lies my chachma, I learned from others. So Rashi goes out of the way to tell us, I don't know what this line of learning is. Dibus yifno shal Rashi should be munachas in front of us. But now let's say, so Rashi says he doesn't know. Tosa says, what's so difficult? Tosa says, El Meforash HaBeyotam. What's this mysterious phantom achlokas, whether you cannot learn Karen for the rest or you can learn Karen for the rest? After all, we're going to be hard-pressed to find it, because if not, the no nachkanina. It's a hypothetical machlokas. If it wouldn't have said Karen, we would have learned Karen for the rest. But it does say Karen. So where are you going to find this machlokas? It says, no. I found that not as well. The first man of time, Mu'adim Mitchilasan means dark and lahazim. You know what we mean by Mu'adim Mitchilasan? We don't mean that you paint it as a child. We mean that it's normal. That's the quality of the case. The first sheet that says, Karen is unlike the rest, because Karen is abnormal. Everything else is normal. It's Mu'ad. It's to be expected that soon the animal will chomp, that the animal will stomp, that the fire will spread. Those are to be expected. It's not to be expected the animal is going to gore, or the animal is going to go ahead and bite maliciously. That's not to be expected. And it's not a mu'ad, meaning it is not, in the terminology of Daf Tezvav Beis, it's not orchid. Not orchid. So then what's the other man? The Rashi Enkin, the Karen says, don't stop Shabar, because the Shimur kind. We assume it. Karen is assumed to be taken care of on its own. It's not something you would naturally be responsible to worry about. If you hold like Rav Huna ben Yeshua. Because the other sheet, that Karen is worse, that's Paul Ganiska Memona. The whole is Dr. Lazit. And therefore, Lokan Mechazke Shimur. And therefore, you're not going to say, oh, the other Dr. Wad Mitchilasa, this is also Wad Mitchilasa, this is also normal. I could have learned Karen from the mess. Karen is also not as normal, but normal too. Now, what's interesting is the Gemara goes, name, why does the Gemara refer to that Shita? Not just as the one who holds that Karen is normal, the one who holds that Karen is Havanasa Bahazik. Why? Now we understand it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. That's the name of Rav Papa. He's the one who holds the definition of Karen. It's Kamal Saz. The definition of Karen is not Mishuna. He actually holds it's not so Mishuna. A really Mishuna case isn't even anything like Karen. But moreover, positively, let's not just define ourselves what we're not. Let's define ourselves what we are. Rav Huna ben Yeshua, his definition of Karen is Mishune. It ain't one mitchilasa. Rav Papa's definition of Karen is Kavana Lahazik. That's gorgeously, elegantly, and very subtly presented in Daf Hei Beis. So there you have it. That's where Rav Aaron Cutler's Nusach apparently was. If we get to Daf Hei Beis, that's when the Gemara changes definitions. The Rav's Nusach was, we get to Daf Tezvah. Two ways of saying the same thing. Essentially. Because Tosa says, Dahei is referring back, or referring forward, whatever, is a reference to Daf Tezvah. It's another reprise, another presentation of the same fundamental Machlokes Rav Papa and Rav Huna ben Yeshua. Again, what we're seeing here, again, if you read Tosa sensitively, and other Rishonim unpack it more, but it's already in Tosa, if you're looking, reading Tosa with open and careful eyes, this is not just a detailed Machlokes of is a Karen, is it mammon? It's not even, is it a kanas or is it mammon? It's not even just a machlokes of how common is Karen. It's a machlokes over what flows from that, is a machlokes over, it is a machlokes of how common is Karen, One thing that flows from it is, do we see Karen as Knas or Mammon? But other thing that flows from it is, what is the defining characteristic of Karen? And let me show you even more. Because this doesn't only impact the definition of Karen. Take a look at the Rambam. The opening halachas of Hilchos Nizkei Mamon. It's in the packet. Zokti Rambam. The first page of Sefer Nezikin. Kol nefesh chaya shibishus ha-shaladam. Ay, 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 ay. Perek Aleph, Aleph, Aleph. The opening lines of Sefer Nezikin. Nizkei Mamon Aleph, Aleph. He starts, he gives on top, Shar Hever Bar Havara. He's going to start with the two, the Shar and Mava, then he's going to work to Bar and Havara, which is H. We expect to hear Shar at the beginning, and we do. How does he present it? Kol Nefesh Chaya, Sheiv Yeshus Hashal Adam. Any live creature, any animal, which is in a human being's domain, Shehizika, and then goes and damages a live animal, and someone is responsible for it, so then the owners are on the hook to actually pay for the results of their animal's damage. Why? After all, their property did damage. As an aside, that sounds a little bit like a focus on Ma'aseh Hezek, but not for now, before he's put on Rishus Shalom. Let's keep going. Interesting, he quotes the pasuk from what? Karen. The first point that Rambam is making is it's nothing unique about shar. Don't get too carried away by the fact that Torah keeps talking about cows. That was a common case in the context. You don't have cow ownership is not so. Nowadays, more Americans own dogs than cows. But back in the day, when the Torah was given, more people owned cows than dogs. So the Torah gave... The dinim are the principles are the same, but the particular examples the Torah gave were hoved, or things that were common at the time. Halacha beis. By the way, are we talking right now about Karen, Shane, Regal? What are we talking about? We haven't said yet. We haven't said yet. We said if an animal is mazik, we did quote a pasuk of Karen, which is interesting. But so far we say an animal is mazik, you have to pay. The next question, halacha beis, how much do you pay? Ooh. Okay, now we're going to get into some details. Which av are we talking about? How much you have to pay as well depends. If Hezekiah with the Baruch Shadakah, some Talmud, give me Briasa, if the animal caused damage while doing things that it is normal for you to do on a regular basis, could go to Hemeshach, a Tevin, or Amir, an animal ate some food, or Hezekiah, Virago, Kedera, Kiluka, or it stepped on something while it was walking, we call those. Shein and Regal, then Chayim L'Sham Nezek Shalim. Minyam Shem and Achasa, you have to pay Nezek Shalim. Meitav Sadeo, Meitav Karmoi Shalim. A pasuk from the parasha of Shein and Regal. The Mshinas, for the animal, was Mishana, that's feminine, we would say Mshinsa, the Rambam's style of Hebrew is Mshinas, the Asas, we would say Mshinsa, the Asasa, Masim, Shein Darkal Aso Sam Tamid, if it was a Mishana, it did Dover Mishuna, the sort of thing it doesn't typically do. The Hezika Bahed, the damage through abnormal activity. Kigon Shor Shnogach, O Noshach, the short desire to gore or to bite, not to eat, but to bite, Chayav L'Shalem Chatsi Nezek Niguf HaMazek Atzmo, then you only pay Chatsi Nezek, you're only Niguf. And he goes on to talk about, and he says in Halach HaDalad, if a Darkal Asosa Tami called that Mu'ad, if it's Mishana, they call that Tam. If the Tam is done many times, so then that becomes a Mu'ad too. You notice, how did he define, how many others did he just give us?
Two, three.
Sort of, yeah. They mentioned Karen, Shane, Regal. How many categories did he give us?
One.
Well, one that you broke, he started with animals. They broke it down into normal and abnormal. Which is, by the way, also Shane, Shar is abnormal, and Hever is normal. Now, not a word about Kavanah L'Hazik or Hanah L'Hazikah. We do paskin it's a kras, exactly, which is why also we'll close with this for now. There's more to, we have yet to go back to Daf Beis and to understand Rashi and Daf Hey. But we have a Kabbal Shalah in terms of an appreciation, a far deeper, broader appreciation of what's going on here. We'll close with a one line from a riff. It's a very famous riff. Mr. Rav gets all excited, but for now, just one line of the riff. In classical Gemara, the Aleph on the Beis. In a newfangled Gemara, it's here somewhere. It's the middle of Daf Beis. That's bolded in the new Gemara. V'chulu bein avos bein toldos muradim mitchilasan. All of the avos and toldos are more from the outset. You paint as a sholeh. It's somewhere there. It's right before Tani Rav Garmin Chia. V'chulu bein avos bein toldos muradim mitchilasan. You know, all the avos and the toldos. You paint as a sholeh, except for Karen, which is Tam Ulvasov Mu'ud. Karen starts Tam, but ends up being Mu'ud. And then he mentions Shane Beregel Bashus HaRabim Peturi Meshum Ge'orkayu. Shane Beregel comes from because it's Orphan. More to say about why we need the because, but it's still the definition of Shane Beregel just became Orphan as opposed to Karen, which is not. That is this Rambam, who's really reflecting not only the riff, but the Gemara. That Tosis understood as well. There was a fundamental redefinition of Karen versus Shane Beregel. There were really only two categories. Karen, Shane Beregel, Glav Orhe. And that is Halacha Lamaseh, as you said, Vipassan, Paganistra, Nosa. To be continued.